Anyways, I wanted to kind of connect up where I was last week. Did anybody get anything out of that last week being following after peace? So I think it's something that, you know, we all should be able to see. This isn't for individuals that are special or have a special calling on their life. But Paul prayed in Ephesians that he prayed for what? The church at Ephesus. He didn't pray for a select few in the church of Ephesus, but he prayed for the church that they would have what? In Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17, he said that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? The knowledge of him. So that means he's praying that they should what? Know. And the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. What is that? They should see. So we all should see what God's will. We should all see, and we should all what? Know. We should know what he wants, what he sees us to have. So that's going to come about by who? The Holy Spirit. He's going to reveal. He has been sent to do what? To help us to see and to know. You can only know as much as you know. I mean, that sounds kind of silly, but you can't know the future unless somebody reveals that to you, and the Holy Spirit can reveal. So you can't know enough information to know everything. But God does. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. And the one who knows lives where? On the inside of you. And so when you get to a place in life where you go, I just don't know what to do. I really don't know what way to turn here. He does. He knows the choice that you should make. So what does that mean? That means in life, I can actually go through life and not make bad decisions. That means I can hit it 100% every time. Now, we're all not there yet, but what does that mean? That means we need to become more aware of him, more sensitive to what? His leading. And so he leads us by that what? Inner witness. And that witness is he does what? He witnesses. Always remember, you are a spirit. You're not the Holy Spirit. You are a spirit, and his spirit lives inside of your spirit. You are now one. And so he bears witness to your spirit what direction you should go, what choices you should make. And so as we were sharing last week, we were sharing in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, let the peace of God rule in where? Your hearts. And so we're not to be led by our emotions. We're not to be led by, you know, so often when we become too body conscious, what do I mean by that? I don't mean something bad. I just mean we use our brain all the time. We use our intellect all the time. So we're used to going this way. Well, I know what to do. This feels right. I just think we should do this. Or we make choices based on money. Well, this is cheaper, so I'll buy this. So I think I know. And then you get it and it falls apart. Right? And it wasn't a good choice. But that's because, what does Proverbs 3:5 say? Trust in the Lord with all your head. No, it says trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will then direct your path. So what is the thing we have to do? We have to acknowledge him before we make a choice, whether it's money, whether it's friends, whether it's job, whether it's doctor, whether whatever it is, we have to stop. You know that old saying, stop and drop, you know, with the kids? Well, you stop and you say, okay, Lord, what direction should I take? Should I buy this? Sometimes it's yes, but just not right now. You know how those things go? In other words, I'm gonna say something. Well, maybe you need to say something, but just not right now. Maybe you need to do something. You know you need to do it. It's the right choice, but he says, just wait. Just wait. Maybe he knows something. Then I say, okay, now go. So it's following after him. You can hit it every time. But it becomes something that we have to work at. When I say work at, what do I mean? Yield. It means you have to yield to the Holy Spirit. You have to desire him more than your choice. You have to yield to him and say, you know everything, I don't. And so when I go to make a choice, even if I think I know it's this is right, I'm going to just wait on you. You know, I remember a story. Brother Hagin tells these stories. You know, you read about them. And of course, I heard these on messages he taught going back. And you can go back and listen to all of these things. They're on YouTube, most of his old messages. And he told a story of a young man in his early 20s, hungry for God, out in the Broken Arrow area, that Tulsa Broken Arrow area. And back then, I'm talking about in his early part of his ministry, back in the late 70s, early 80s, this young man started to go to his meetings and started to take hold of the messages he was teaching on faith and being led by the Spirit of God. And this young man took hold of that, and he started to, as he began to yield to the Holy Spirit began to lead him. And he said, this young man eventually, because back that time, I started going to some of the meetings out there myself personally back in the early 80s, like 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, all of those times I was going out there. It was farm country. Nothing. If anybody's going out to Tulsa, it is very, it's exploded out there. I mean, it's like, I don't want to call it New York City, but it's busy. But when I used to go out there, and even Pastor Sarah and Clinton, it was farm country. It's just nothing but farms, no streetlights, all farms or horse ranches and different things like that, farms. And so God began to lead this young man to buy property. And he started buying property. Now, back then, he just yielded and started buying. And he got into real estate as a young man. And to know what to buy and not to buy, when to buy, he said, I just pray and take time and pray. And if it felt right, not my head, he'd say, sometimes my head would say, oh yeah, you got to do this. And his heart would be like, no, 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 no. And so Brother Hagin said, eventually this young man became a multi-millionaire. And he didn't have one private jet. He had multiple private jets that he got around in. And he said, it came about. And then he said, of course, it became even more involved. The more he had, people would now want to knock on his door and say, man, you got to buy this. You got to invest in this. And so now it became more complex for him. And he'd just say, well, I'll get back to you. And he'd say, he'd get quiet for a couple of days and then get back to them, yes or no. And so he spent more time waiting on God to know what to buy and what not to buy. And the reason he became a multi-millionaire is because he started buying up farms, and then they started building interstates through there. Who had the farm? Who had the property? And if you go out there now, they got interstates all over. He had the property, and they had to buy from him. So just using that as an example, that however God leads us, he wants us to be blessed and prosperous. And he knows exactly where we are, financially, health-wise, all of those different things. And he wants to do what? Lead us into his blessings and his prosperity. And sometimes we're being led so often, we all do it, but we have to step back and say, okay, I'm not going to make a choice here. And most of us, even in the simplest of things, if you know you need, I mean, Pastor Sarah and Clinton used to teach on this. I'm talking about in the early part of the ministry. I remember it. They said, you know how you start? Before you go to go shopping, you start claiming your parking space right in front of the store. Start working your faith, being led, following your heart. In other words, if the Holy Ghost says, no, don't go that way, go this way. Follow it. Start yielding to him. You know, here's the thing that I have found that has helped me. In my early Christian life, thoughts would come to go do something, and I would ignore it. Because I just thought, well, I know better. You know how we are. A thought can come, and we're so mind conscious, we're so intellect conscious, that we ignore the thought. Because we go, ah, I know better. I know to do this. I know this way. I know how to go. I know what to buy. Because it's head knowledge. It's intellect. I've worked that so much that I begin to ignore who's in me. And you have to do what? Yield. So what I started doing is when thoughts would come, and I mean, it started, I don't know, a while ago, but just yielding to the thought and say, you know what? I'm going to check up on that. I'm going to do that. And you go, oh, that was the Holy Ghost. He would lead me. So you, what do? You yield to the thought that comes. And you begin to follow it out. You'll begin to know now, oh, that was him speaking to me. That was him. He was enlightening my mind to do something. And then sometimes you'll just have, this doesn't feel right. I shouldn't do this. Or maybe it's like, I need to do this. That's an inner witness. Sometimes he'll give us just a thought. Follow this. You don't know how many times I've come back from here and a thought will come, go check this. And I'll go, what? Why do I need to do that? I want to go home. I want to get something to eat. You know, all the thoughts that we have. And I've stopped doing that. I've said, okay, let me go check it. Whoop, there it is. Lights left on. Sound system was left on. This was done. And I just followed the thought. I yielded to it. Stay open. That's what we're really saying. Yield, be yielded and open. Don't just ignore it. You know, because sometimes you could get a thought, you might, we got to go. We're in a hurry. We got to go. And maybe your thought comes, just wait 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Sometimes those thoughts that come can be life or death thoughts. He's trying to help us. And so all I'm really sharing is that sometimes we're so mind, intellect conscious, and body conscious that we're quick to yield to that because we've perfected it. We've worked it so much that it's natural to yield. We don't even think about it. We just yield, right? But we need to stop and we need to think, okay, when a thought comes, every thought that comes, you need to say, okay, let me check this. And begin to say, Lord, is this you? Because that's how you develop the spiritual sensitivity. What it shows him is you're not now leaning to your own understanding, you're trusting him, right? So I just share those points as a point of reference because I know for me it has helped me. I know when we were at the meetings recently, sometimes he can speak to you. Sometimes it's very, very soft. You could miss it. You know, I remember when I was sharing last time I was here, just being in the shower, and I heard just very faint. I mean, not that wasn't, you know, horns and loud. It wasn't, you know, the voice of the Lord, which is very, it was my spirit, but it was the Holy Spirit speaking in my spirit. And I'm standing in the shower, and he said, just real soft. If you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. Now, I could have ignored that, and I did for a couple of weeks before I had it checked. But you could just keep plowing along. And sometimes the Holy Ghost, I reflect back little things in our life. A thought may come. You need to exercise. Now, I ain't exercising. I don't want to exercise. Ignored it. Change your eating habits. Nah, I like what I eat. I ain't doing that. Huh. So you ignored it. See what I'm talking about? Those are the kind of things where he's trying to help us change something, get our maybe our bodies or whatever in, you know, proper order, and he knows something that we don't know. So I just share that because, the trying to hit different things that I've gone through and I've ignored. I mean, I got thoughts years ago when I drank too much coffee. I remember a thought came, back off the coffee, stop drinking it. And I go, no, I like coffee. I'm going to drink it. And I ignored it. You understand my point? So there's things that will come in your own life to help you, and we don't want to ignore those thoughts. Check them out. Yield to them. That's my point. Yield to the thoughts. He's here to help us. But I wanted to share one point before we go on a little bit, was in Colossians, if we could look at this again, in the King James, and starting in verse 12, this is Colossians 3, and verse 12. And I'm going to read through verse 15. But it says, put on as the elect of God. So that means you've got to do something. God's not going to do it. He says, put on. This is Paul writing to the church of Colossae. He's telling them, put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of what? Mercy, kindness, humbleness of what? Mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. That means you've got to do something. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above, see, and then he says this in verse 14, and above all these things that I just shared with you, above all these things, do what? Put on charity, put on love. So after all these things he's saying, yeah, and all these things he said, and above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. So what is that really saying? It's going to be difficult if you're not doing all these other things. It's going to be difficult to let the peace of God rule in your heart. But here was the thing that I wanted to share with this. When you look up the word rule, when it says, let the peace of God do what? Rule in your hearts. That word rule, a synonym for that, or another word for rule, it can mean prevail or govern, but it also can mean to arbitrate. And I wanted to look at that a little bit when somebody arbitrates, what does that mean? They make a decision. If I go to somebody who's an arbitrator, and we've got two parties, we've got two things, the arbitrator decides, doesn't it? He's there to help navigate through that issue. And you're submitting or you're referring for a decision from the arbitrator. So when it says, let the peace of God rule, it's saying, let the peace of God arbitrate. So what it means is when I've got a choice to make, let peace arbitrate. Let it have the final decision. Does everybody understand that? Everybody get that? So what does that mean? I have to yield to peace and let it arbitrate. It means that arbitrate means to settle a dispute between two people or groups after hearing the arguments and opinions. So now I've got some issues, right? I'm trying to decide A or B. And I have to let peace arbitrate. Let peace rule. Let it have the final decision. That's what that really means. If I'm going to let peace arbitrate, then I'm saying I'm yielding to you. I'm letting you have the final decision here. I've got to make a choice. I have A and I have B, and I don't know what to do, and I'm letting peace arbitrate or rule or govern or prevail. That's really what we're saying. I don't know what to do, but I'm letting peace rule or arbitrate. It has the final decision. But we have to yield, don't we? We have to yield to peace. We have to let it guide us. Let it help us make the decisions that we need to make. That's what we were sharing last week. And when you say arbitrate, the Weymouth translation, I think they have that translation in verse 15, Colossians 3:15, the Weymouth, it says, and let the peace which Christ gives settle, that will be arbitrating, settle all questionings in your heart. So let the peace of God arbitrate. Let it settle the choice that you have to make. You see. And I know we spent some time last week talking about that. And the Good News Translation, it says, the peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. So every decision we make, we need to let peace that's in our hearts rule or arbitrate or prevail. But you have to yield to it. You have to yield to Him. You have to yield to the Spirit of God and let Him guide you. That's what we're saying. So this point of being yielded, what does that mean? We don't want to be led by our reasoning. We don't want to be led by, you know, our flesh and our thinking, our understanding. We don't want to be even money led. You know, so often we've all done this. We buy something because we think it's the right choice. Well, it may be and it may not be. But peace should arbitrate. And we should even when I think I know, I should really begin to practice yielding to Him, to let Him lead me. That's where we learn in the simple things of life. And then when things in life become more complex, when you really wouldn't know what to do, then you can know with absolute assurity this is the right choice. It's the right choice. So a lot of times, you know, I've done it. We've all done it. You know, you buy something because it's cheap. Or you went somewhere and you said you got a special on the menu. Ooh, sure was. Yeah. And so a lot of times, you know, we just need to be more developed in this area. We need to hunger after those things. In other words, when we hunger after something, that means I'm yielded to him. I want more of your direction in my life. I want more of you, Holy Spirit. I need you because I don't know what to do. And so often it's just making that conscious decision every day to look on the inside. I know the choices that we make when we have to do things here in the ministry, even personally. I stop and I may start moving in a direction. And if I get a good sense, you know, begin to develop that. If you get a good sense about something, keep moving in that direction. If you get no sense, keep moving in that direction. Because I'll guarantee you, he knows what you're thinking anyways. God already knows what you're thinking. If you think you know, you're not yielded. You need to just say, Lord, I really don't know what to do here. I'm looking to you for direction. Keep moving in a direction. And when you just sense, this doesn't feel right, stop. Just stop. And wait until you have peace. So start moving in a direction. If you don't have peace, stop. And that's the best way I could explain it. That's the inner witness. And so often we do that, you know, we do that all the time in the ministry. And it's developing that, working, in the decisions that you have to make. Every decision, look for his direction. And that to me tells God that you're interested, you're yielded, you're open to his direction. You know, how many of you, you know, in raising children, your children said, you try to give some advice and they're like, either the hand goes up, the teeth click, or I know, they don't know, right? Is that true? Yeah. In some fashion. Maybe not. Maybe some children are a little better than others, I guess. But we all did it. We all did it with our parents. I know you don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know. And you often made some dumb decision, some dumb choice, instead of listening. Right? And so often it's the same thing. God's wanting to help us. But we have a choice. We can ignore him or yield. And I think it's best for us to do what? Yield. Yield to him. He knows everything. So Proverbs 20 and verse 27 in the King James says, the spirit of man is what? The candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly. And this is the New Living Translation. I like this. It says, the Lord's searchlight. I like the way that puts that. The Lord's searchlight penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive. So God's trying to expose. He's trying to help us reveal, enlighten things that we should do, things that we shouldn't do, and he's trying to help us, even in the most complex of things. So the Spirit is in us to do what? Reveal, to enlighten. And we all should know. That's my point. We all should know, but we need to be what? Yielded to him. I'm thinking about myself. You know, just give you a few things for me, and we all have stories, but since I'm up here, I'll share mine. But I remember back in 1984, you know, working, I had a very good job. I was had a team of programmers working for me. I was working for the utility company, And, you know, in the IT department, I had about four or five staff members, and, you know, we were all directors over groups, and we were all assigned to various portions or sections of the business. I had all the engineering portions of it. Some were in payroll, some did, you know, accounting, they did the general ledger. These were the programming teams that programmed the software. And then we were started doing online programming and all of that. But I remember in 1984, the Lord prompting me to quit and leave and come work in the ministry. And boy, you know, how many know when you're doing good and you're making a decent salary and you're doing it, and he goes, "Hello, I need you." You go, "No, no, 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 no." So I had to yield to that, and I did, because in my heart, I had reached a point that was dissatisfaction. I loved my job, loved working there, but there was a spiritual, it was a dissatisfaction. I wasn't satisfied anymore. And so that dissatisfaction led me to leave. And of course, I went to, you know, their HR department, and, you know, we of course, us, the directors of the, in the programming department, we dealt with all the VPs and all of the people that were higher up. And so, you know, when I went to the HR, they knew who I was. And when I told them I wanted to leave, they go, "Oh, no, no, you know, and so I said, "No, I believe I'm led to go leave and work for the ministry." And this is what they said. They said, "If you ever want to come back and work here, the door's open." Well, I never went back. But it was just nice that, you know, they extend that, right? But the Holy Ghost, he led me to come, and I had to yield. And then I remember starting working in the ministry, and just as a volunteer, I wasn't paid to do this, I worked as a host. You know, we had a lot of people, and we worked. And then a year after doing that, I just had this unction. I had a prompt, a witness to stop doing that and start working in the sound area. That was the leading. And I'm going, I know zero about sound. Zero. I mean, when I say zero, nada, nothing. So I took that step of faith. I took that step to go and help in that area. And then not long after, I was put in charge over it because the other guy left. So all of those things, you see, God had a plan. And then I began to learn. I began to read books. I had already been through engineering school. But the practical side of things, I didn't know. And so I had to learn that, and did through the years. But again, it was yielding to the Holy Ghost. You know, and just so many other stories that God prompted me to do, either through an inner witness or just a thought that would come. You know, I remember a couple that left, they started a church. They still have a church down in Jonesboro, Louisiana. And they were up visiting. This was a number of years ago. And I was, you know, just good to see them, gave them a big hug. And the thought came, give them this amount of money. And it was a good amount to the ministry. And I said, okay, I had it. I was yielded to do it. And I said, Lord, I'm going to wait. They'll be here for a few more days. I'll wait. And I did. And I finally, eventually, after a couple of days, I wrote the check out to the ministry, gave it to them, and the wife said, "Oh, well, praise God, thank you." Nothing like, pray, you know, we need this. 2-3 months later, I get a letter that said, "You have no idea what this did to us," because we had been on our knees crying out to God that we are in debt in the ministry. And this amount of money resolved or got rid of the debt. I mean, it was a good amount of money. And that buoyed them. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, they knew God heard our prayer. So that's what I'm saying. You just, when you get a thought to do something, do it. Because you don't know what somebody else is going through. They could be on their knees crying out to God, God, I need help. If you don't answer my prayer, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he'll prompt you to do something. So you grow in faith, and also the person praying, that God heard my prayer. He answered my prayer. He loves me, you see. And that's the point we're trying to make. It's about yielding to him. Yield to the Holy Ghost. Yield to those thoughts that come. Maybe the most silly thing to go do. Do it. The worst you're going to find out was, it was nothing. But at least you yielded. That's the point I'm trying to make. Yield to the thoughts that come. I mean, think about some of the things we think about just in Scripture. Think about Abraham. He had to yield, didn't he? Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. What he had to do? He had to yield to something God said to him. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. That was a big deal, right? He gave him some instructions. Unto the land that I will show thee. So he hadn't shown him yet. So he had to do it in faith. And I will make thee of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham did what? He yielded. He departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. See? So he yielded. So when the Lord gives us some instructions, we need to yield. We need to obey. Right? That's how we're going to be more sensitive to him. As we obey him, he'll give us more. Hallelujah. So you got to be open to him, yielded to him. Hallelujah. John 7, let me read this. The Gospel of John, verse 7 and verse 17. In the King James, it says, If any man will do his will, he shall know of his doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. It's Jesus speaking. So when he gives us instructions, he'll reveal to you as you obey. You're going to go, that was the Lord. That was him. And sometimes we already know. That was him. You're now making that choice. You're getting out of your intellect and over into doing what? Obeying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's what Jesus did all through Matthew. Let's look at Matthew 26, verse 20 and 39. Matthew 26, verse 39. He's in the garden, he said, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, say, not as I will, but as thou wilt. See, it's not as I will, it's as he wilt. Whatever that will is, whatever his direction is, it's following his direction for the call upon your life. Yes, he wants to lead us into all the blessings of God, but it's about people that we're trying to reach, people that are hurting, people that need help. He's going to use us, and we need to be open and yielded to him for that purpose. Everybody agree to that? Hallelujah. This is where we are. Quench not the Spirit. Do not stifle the Spirit. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:19. So we don't want to quench or stifle the Holy Ghost, but yield to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. So, you know, this past week, I'll just share one example or one thing. Just recently, we were in prayer last Monday night. I don't know if Minister Joe and Susie were there. I think you were, or Donna, last Monday night. Reverend Leanne, Pastor Leanne, and Jerry had come in. I picked them up at the airport, and they came up. She was teaching that evening, and she said in the car coming up, she said, we're just chatting, and they were chatting, and she said, well, I believe this week my supply is prayer. That's what I'm supposed to be doing this week, bringing this spirit of prayer that we pray. I said, okay. And they all bring a different supply, whatever God leads them to share. So as she did, she was sharing some things about John 14 and so forth, and we prayed a little bit. And as we were praying, you know, Robin was playing, and Reverend Kevin started blowing the trumpet, and it stimulates in her, and she shared Wednesday night, she said, as I operate in this office of prophet, she said, I need that sound that you're playing that causes me to go deeper in this office of prophet, to see things and to know things. But I need that sound that you're playing. It stimulates her. When I say stimulates, it's just she's open, and the Lord works through that. So I know we were praying, and I heard something in my heart. I did, very softly, but I heard it. And but I held it. I didn't say anything. And so at the end of the service, we got up to close it and to receive a love offering. And I was just standing there, and I said, huh. And Reverend Kevin came over, and he had a word, and he said, you know, this word has come up twice. And he said, I'm going to release it now. He said, I've been asking, Lord, what about RLCC? What about them? What do you have to say to them? And he said, this word surplus has come up twice. And he said, there's a surplus that's coming to RLCC. Over and above demand, he said, a surplus is coming. And he exhorted a little bit, and he, you know, was just sharing how you've met the demand, there's surplus coming. And so he went to sit down, and I just felt impressed. I'm going to release what I heard in my spirit because it dovetails with him. This is what I heard. I heard the dark clouds that have hung over RLCC have been moved out, and there's an open heaven receive. And I heard that. I heard the dark clouds that have hung over this ministry have been moved, and the open heaven is available. And that dovetailed with what Reverend Kevin shared about surplus. So I said, hang on, because there are some things that are being done in the spirit. And what Reverend Kevin did was he got up and he took Hebrews 1:14, which says, those ministering spirits that have been sent to work for you or assigned to you, he said, we need to command. He said, those angels that have been present in these meetings and standing here, he said, we are to give them a command to go out and bring the money in. And so that's what he did. Oh, yeah. Now, that may not seem, you know, something that you're used to hearing, but angels stand at attention for direction. And so angels, let's look at Hebrews 1:14. That's the wrong chapter. It's Hebrews 1. Yeah, Hebrews 1:14. I hit the wrong chapter. It says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Who's heirs of salvation? We are. It says right here, this is the New Living Translation. Therefore, angels, this is what it says in the New Living Translation. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. And the Passion Translation, it says here in Hebrews 1:14, what role then do the angels have? The angels are spirit messengers sent by God to serve those who are going to be saved. So angels are here, and sometimes we need to just release some words. And when we call in $80,000 each week, we say, Father, we command the $80,000 to come in, and we command the angels assigned to us to go out and bring it in Jesus' name. And so that's what we do. And we believe we receive it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, God has got some things, you know, yielding, you know, so often, you know, some of the things that we are experiencing. I know Dr. Frederick Price, he was with us in 1990. Pastor Sarah and Clinton were friendly with him. They would stay with him when they would go out to his area and his home. And when he came in 1990, he shared a prophecy. He was just teaching, and he began to speak in tongues and began to prophesy at the 10th anniversary of the church in 1990. And he said, you're not going to stay in this building. This is in Nanuet. Now, there's a lot of space there. He said, you're not going to stay in this building. I know you've just moved in, but you're not going to stay here. It's too small. It's too small for what I have planned for this church. He said, and then he went on and said, you might as well just put it up for sale. He said, you might as well take pictures. Because he said, you're not going to stay here. It's too small. Now, you try to figure that out in your brain. When he released that, you know, we were running at that time, I think the church, we were there 5 years. And maybe we were running 1,500, 1,800 people. Then through the years, it got up over 2,000, 2,500. It was pretty much full. It seats a little over 3,000. And then after Pastor Clinton passed away, we had a call it a great exodus. And so now you have, you know, we're meeting in another room. But those words were spoken. He knows something we don't know. He knows something we don't know. And that's the whole point. He gave some instructions to Noah. Noah could have said, rain. What's he talking about? I never seen rain before. But he yielded. He obeyed God, and he built it and saved his entire family. Because he did what? He yielded. He obeyed. He could have got over in his head and gone, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. We've never seen rain. Until it did. And so those are the kind of things that when you hear instructions, when you hear things come through men and women of God who you know are reputable, and they know the Holy Ghost, and they release words. And it wasn't just that. It was other things that have been spoken. So it'd be different if it was just this, and it kind of was over there by itself. But there were other words that have been spoken. In 1985, I'll give you another one. 1985, when Brother Copeland came to dedicate the church. And of course, that relationship he had with the Utterbachs started way before that. And he came, dedicated the church. He came, we met him. He came to celebrate our 41st anniversary just a couple of years ago, the year before Pastor Sarah went to heaven. Wonderful man of God. And so at that dedication service in 1985, he got over into the spirit and he started sharing some things. I mean, it's all transcribed that we have. And he said, this place is a lighthouse. And he began to share how he said this. He said, you think that church in Seoul, Korea is so big. Now that was Dr. Young Ji Cho's church, who was an Assembly of God church. And this place here, this is why this place is holy ground, because the group that owned this was the Korean Assembly of God Church that was really a part of Dr. Young Ji Cho's church. And this was their prayer camp. This place here, this whole place was their prayer camp. That's all they did here was pray. And so this place here has special significance, this place. And so, you know, the point is that those things that God has spoken, and like Brother Copeland, he said, you think that church in Seoul, Korea is so big, they had over 1 million people that were part of their church. You know what the Holy Ghost said? He said, this is what Brother Copeland shared. He said, I'll do that here in RLCC, if you'll let me. And he said, I'm going to do that all over the world. And he said, don't seek the biggest church, just seek me. Seek Jesus. Because when you do, you'll help people. So God is about wanting to do something. We just have to do what? Yield to him, seek the Lord, seek Jesus, obey him. And he'll build the church. It's exciting to me. It's exciting. And sometimes these things take time. They take time. But he's building it. And I'm telling you, it's just exciting to me to see what God is doing in our midst here and in Nanuet. And also the same with Pastor Enrique and Yessi. In the Spanish church, so much. So we thank God. And so what Pastor Clinton had heard, he said the Holy Ghost, and the thing that excites me the most is that what Minister Joe was sharing. That motto was given by the Holy Ghost to Pastor Sarah when they came back from Bible college. When they were driving, this is what she said. When they were coming, this is what she shared to us. She's shared it so many times publicly. She said, when we were coming back from Tulsa and we were driving, this is what she said, through the Delaware Water Gap. She said, when we were driving through the gap, the Holy Spirit gave me that motto. Where the love of God is evident, where the word of God is taught, where the Spirit of God is directing and the power of God is manifested. And so she had to do what? She had to yield, she had to obey and put that up. And God wants that spoken. He wants to manifest that here. Amen. So we have to yield. We have to yield. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. So how many are hungry for God, hungry for the Spirit of God? I am. I'm hungrier hungry for him, hungry to hear him, hungry to follow him. Because when we do, he said, I'll lead you into what? All truth. And so he's going to lead us to help people. And we thank God. Praise God. Amen. So, you know, before I've closed, but I've finished, but is there anything anybody has? I just always like to give people an opportunity if they've got something to give thanks to God, a testimony or something that just gives God glory, something that they just burning in their heart, they want to share. I mean, if somebody has something, you can. If not, that's fine. I always just like to give an opportunity because we always want to give God glory. Amen. Praise God. You know, I saw something, and as we close, we're going to pray for Israel. But I saw something recently. I forget where I saw it at this moment. But they said there were a lot of missionaries working in Gaza. And a lot of the Palestinians that are hurting and so forth, they have Christian missionaries in Gaza working and helping those that are Muslim and those that are hurting, those that are, you know, just really in a tough spot. And this article said they're sharing the gospel openly to them. And so what happened in this article was that they said after they shared it that night or that day, Jesus appeared to, he said, almost 200 of them. And they came back the next day and said, we want to know more about Jesus. We want to know more about what you're sharing. And they're getting saved in the midst of that turmoil. And I thought, isn't that exciting? God can take even that difficult situation and reach people in a war-torn situation. So it's just exciting, and we pray God safety for, you know, for those missionaries that are in there in those difficult situations. So let's pray, and I know we were praying for Israel last Monday. There was a call for prayer to join, and I've saw a text that came through, or it was a Facebook post by Dr. Billy Brim that it's called the ICAJ. It's like International Christian Association for Jerusalem, and they are working with Israel, and they're praying from, I think it was Friday, Saturday, and today for Israel and Jerusalem. And so we need to just join our hearts with them and pray for that country and pray for all the people affected over there, that God will work and be exalted in that, protect them in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your people. We know that you died for everyone. That means even the ones that hate you, even the ones that are firing the missiles, even the ones that are radicalized. We know that your word says that when we were yet sinners, you died for us. So even those that hate you, you died for them. And so, Father, we lift up your people. We lift up your country, Israel, and we ask that you save them, protect them, bless them, shepherd them. And we ask that you exalt them, Father, that they can see that you're a good God, that you protect your people. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We ask that you protect the country of Israel, and that which is done in secret, that be it exposed. Even the things in this country that would try to harm anyone in this country and its safety, we ask that you expose the darkness, expose that which is done to hurt this country. And we thank you, Father, for those that are overseeing the safety of this country and the safety in Israel. And we ask that you protect them. We command the angels to go forth and work alongside those that are out to protect. We ask that you work alongside them, reveal to them where danger is and where things are to harm and hurt. We ask this in Jesus' name. Father, we lift up even the people of Palestine. We ask, Father, that you expose them, bring the perfect laborers across their path to share the good news of the gospel, even in helping them in the natural things. But Father, we desire that no one be lost and go to hell. So Father, you said that we are to ask you, the Lord of the harvest, to send laborers into the fields which are white with harvest. And so Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that you are appearing to those Muslim brothers that are lost. And Father, we thank you that they're hearing the gospel and being saved. And Father, we thank you that you are being exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyone here, before we dismiss, anyone here that needs prayer, come on up and we'll pray with you. The presence of God is here. God's healing power is here. And always remember, healing is in God, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And also it says how God anointed Paul, who laid hands on cloths. So God is in the healing business. God is in the delivering business. And healing is God's idea. Healing is in God, and God is in you. So always remember, the healing power of God is in you. How do I know that? Romans chapter 8, and verse 11 and 12, it says that if the Spirit of God dwells in me, then he who dwells in me quickens my mortal body by his what? Spirit that dwells in me. So the healing power is in you. You need to just say, it's in me and it's working. And it's driving out that which Satan has wrought. God doesn't want us sick. He doesn't want us weak. He doesn't want us to be infirmed. He wants us to walk in health and victory. Amen. Hallelujah. So if anybody needs hands laid upon them or wants agreement in prayer, I'm here to do that. And so praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.